So church family, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Applied series, we're looking at a part two of a message titled, The Days of the Antichrist. The Days of the Antichrist. For some time now, we are going to be investing in what does the Bible say regarding prophetic events. And we could do that forever on Wednesday nights, but we're not going to do that. But we'll do it for a while, that's for sure. And this series is going to cover a lot of things, but one of the things right up front is what a lot of people are always talking about, both secular and religious people, and that is the Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, or, you know, what is Antichrist? And it's something that is not a secret to the world around us, but true knowledge of the Word of God is still something that is somewhat unknown to far too many people. And we're going to try to fix that. I'm going to shamelessly promote this QR code right now because the book I wrote last year or 2 years ago has something to do with all of this. And if you didn't get a copy, you might want to get a copy because of where we're going here in this topic of the Antichrist. Living in the Days of Deception, that is the biggest QR code I have ever seen in my life. Wow. So hopefully that big thing works. Hopefully your camera is big enough to capture that thing. But if you scan that, you can get a copy for yourself. I'm indebted to Secretary Mike Pompeo for writing the foreword. But we thank God for it. It became a national bestseller. But it deals with the reality of deception and how easy it is designed to creep into your life and take control. Deception. Very, very dangerous. And it dovetails right into where we're going tonight. So let's dive into this. We're going to recap just for about 5 minutes and then keep going. And it is this. Theme, title, always. John chapter 14, verse 29. This is what I want you to have embossed on your heart and mind always regarding Bible prophecy. When somebody says to you, I don't want to hear it, you need to tell them this. Jesus said, and now I have told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you, there it is, those three words, you may believe. Prophecy is an evangelistic tool that a lot of people miss out on. God is the only one in the Bible. God is the only one in all of humanity. God is the only one. There's only one God who says, I'm the God that tells the future in advance. I've written it down, given it to you so that you might believe. Absolutely stunning. And so in our last time together, this is where we left off. And that is, when we talk about the days of the Antichrist, what it is, who he is, and what role does it play in the world, we talked about number one, and that is the war for the souls of mankind. The war. There is a war that the Bible makes very clear that you and I are in the midst of a battle, and the origin of that battle is Satan's attempt to, how about this, for the lack of a better term, Satan's attempt to inflict pain upon God, the God that he could not dethrone, you'll see this tonight, the God that he could not defeat, the God that he could not outdo, the God who is all great and he is not. What is left to this incredibly dark, sinister personality that is known as Lucifer, or the devil, or Satan, or the dragon, or Apollyon? We could go on and on. Who is this devil, and why doesn't he just give up once Christ rose again from the dead? And the answer is, there's no reason for him to give up so long as there's one human still alive that he can twist and that he can steal from the heart of God. Think about it. Satan is defeated. The Bible says he's defeated. Whatever authority he manipulates in your life, it's either A, you've opened the door for him to come in, and there's a lot of ways to do that. People don't do that. Don't do those things. Probably the most prevalent thing today. One is always there. The other one is rivaling it. And a demonic open door to let satanic powers in is pornography. Money has always been one of his greatest tools of all. Because remember this, everybody. Unlike pornography, pornography is evil and immoral. Money is amoral. Do you know what I mean by that? Amoral. Money has no morality. You can use money for great things, or you can use it for bad things, or you can use it for nothing things. Money has no morality. It's the possessor of it that dictates its morality. Are you tracking with me? Evils, people think, well, you know, it's just pornography. It is a demonically energized power that Satan utilizes to go through the screen and into your life, and he takes up residence. He will set up camp. He will dig his heels in. And there's a lot of other things. Of course, pharmakei, which is the Bible's word for drugs, hallucinogenics, drinking, drunkenness. The list goes on and on, but he seeks to inflict deception upon humans so that he can hurt the heart of God. That says something about your value, all of you. That's just something about who you are. Satan hates you so much. You know how we walk around saying, God loves you, God loves you, God. Maybe we should say this also. Satan hates your guts. That'll wake people up. And it is true. He wants you destroyed. And so he's always plotting and planning. And we remember this. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. So there is the Antichrist. He's still yet future. We'll be talking about him tonight. But anyone who is Antichrist, anti-Jesus, is an Antichrist as well, but not the Antichrist. So there's a Antichrist. Maybe you're here tonight, you're watching, and you hate everything about Jesus, or you resist him, or you can't, whatever it is, you are of the spirit of Antichrist. There is a day coming when the spirit of Antichrist, with Satan's working power, will produce the Antichrist. And that is an actual, real person, as we shall see. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, or Messiah, he is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Wow, that's heavy. Do you know? Look, I know people who deny the Son, but they think they have the Father. The Bible says that belief system is of the Antichrist, and they are walking as Antichrist in this world. 1 John 4, verse 3, and every spirit, that's what is being spoken out of someone, anyone, any one of us, and every spirit, so are you speaking by the Holy Spirit or by some other spirit, that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Well, that just puts a big kibosh on the Gnostics and those who say that Jesus was an apparition, that Jesus was a ghost or a phantom. You know, that's a very popular theology. Isn't it beautiful? 2,000 years ago, the Bible said, if anybody says that Jesus did not come in the flesh, is of the Antichrist spirit, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. That's pretty clear, everybody. There's the spirit. Are you guys okay? You're really quiet. You scared? Are you nervous? If somebody starts whistling over here in the dark, we'll have to address that. You'll be okay. So Satan's desire is to create an atmosphere that is Antichrist, the spirit of. And by deception, he will produce, so to speak, disciples in his own image. They are deceivers. They are Antichrist. But his crowning glory, Satan, will be his producing of the Antichrist. And so let's dive in now to our second part, which we have not gotten to. So this is fresh tonight. The days of the Antichrist. Number two is this: truth will be the only weapon against deception. Please mark that down. Truth will be the only thing against deception, and it's the only hope that you have. Please don't let me, being a mere mortal, in the words that I'm saying, be lost in translation. What I just said is eternal truth, and I want to say it again. Truth will be, every day, more and more, truth every day will be your greatest weapon against deception. And the truth is God's words. Friends, listen up, young and old. More Bible knowledge, the wiser you'll be regarding the things of this world, and you will walk in the light as he is in the light, and you will not be deceived. That's the guarantee of the Bible. Those are not my words. That is the guarantee of the Bible. The scripture says that in the coming days, when I say days, and in the coming era, the coming times in which we live in, which will increase. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that such deception will arise of such magnitude that, I'm inserting this part now, that you and I, we can't even imagine. That deception will be so great that if it were possible, the very elect of God would be deceived. Translation. Deception's going to be so powerful that if it were possible. What does that mean? It means it's not possible. God's own children would be deceived. Thank God. Did you hear that? God's kids, who are really his kids, cannot be deceived. If you're a child of God tonight, you cannot be deceived. The Holy Spirit will not allow it. That's just going to increase. If somebody wants to defend, well, you know, I was deceived in this. You may have been not enlightened. You may not have understood. Maybe you were coming to faith and now you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if somebody were to say, no, you know what? I disagree with that. Deception. We need to handle it this other way. Watch out about that. Don't let anyone pull you away from the basics of Christianity. And if you claim to be a Christian, make sure you know them. So get ready to dive in. We got a lot of verses, which is good for you to always take the QR code for the notes. And so the truth will be the only weapon against deception. And we'll start 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Everybody, will you mark this down? Very simple rule in biblical interpretation when we come to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Thessalonica, still existing today, one of the oldest cities in the world. You can go in vacation and go visit Thessalonica. It's spectacular. It's beautiful. That said, when Paul the Apostle went through there, he spent 3 weeks there, and he gave them, of course, the gospel. A church started and many disciples, and he wrote to them first Thessalonians, and then later, well over a year later, he wrote to them 2 Thessalonians. Simple rule. Listen, 1 Thessalonians deals with the things of the rapture because the rapture comes first to the church. Just mark it down. Even if you don't believe it, just write it down. Watch what happens. Go prove it wrong. 1 Thessalonians deals with first things first regarding the church. When's Jesus coming back? That's what 1 Thessalonians talks about. 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming of Christ, that is his physical return to earth. Very simple. If you understand that simple little rule in your interpretation, it would go so much easier. We are in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning to verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Some say that's the rapture. I don't know if that's true. It's certainly apostasy. But there's great scholars on both sides that argue that. We'll let them argue. I don't know which one it is. I don't really care about that. But note this. The falling away comes first, time of apostasy. If that is the interpretation, I think we're in it. I mean, I'm not tribulation. I think we're in a time of great departure from the faith. People giving up. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Mark it, he's the Antichrist. That's one of his names. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. Do you remember? Listen to this. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? You know what verse 5 means? Verse 5 means that when I made my first visit to you back in the days of 1 Thessalonians, do you remember I told you all about this stuff? Isn't that amazing? That Paul told them about. Are you listening?
Yes.
2,000 years ago, Paul told them about this stuff regarding the second coming. And not only the second coming, but there's going to be one who's going to be the ultimate deceiver that is going to arise in the last days. Why would he say that 2,000 years ago if it wasn't important? It's important, folks. It's amazing. Verse 6, and now you know what is restraining that he, the son of perdition, may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he, notice this, personal pronoun. So whoever he is who's restraining is holding back this evil one, the son of perdition, he is taken out of the way. So when whoever the, what and who the restrainer is will someday be taken out of the way. It doesn't say he leaves. I believe he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He steps out of the way, that's all. And then the lawless one, notice, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Boy, we don't have the time to get into what that means. But let me tell you, without truth and without the Holy Spirit in you, you and I would fall to every one of those manifestations by pure deception. Only the Holy Spirit can protect you and the truth of God. What a tremendous thing. And with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. Wow. Because why? How come why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. Which means every one of us need to check our own hearts. If we did, have we received the love of the truth? That's the question. Amen. That they might be saved. They didn't want to be saved. They didn't want anything to do with God. They wanted to do their own thing. They didn't see their life to be a life given to God. They saw a life to be lived for themselves. And so he goes on to say that in verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. So God will remove reason from them. Why? Because that's their judgment. People, keep the verse up. If I'm standing in wet cement, what should I do?
Get out.
What if I stand here till this time tomorrow? I'm done. If you stand rejecting a personal relationship with Christ and you keep rejecting and you keep rejecting, there's a day that the cement sets. Look, it happened to Pharaoh. Everybody wants to talk about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. 10 times in the book of Exodus, it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Do you know, that's 5, by the way, that's 10. Do you know how many times it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart? That was his middle name. I am Pharaoh Harold. Sorry. 10 times God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and it says 10 times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. A lot of people failed to point that out. He wouldn't change. He dug his heels in. What happens to these people in the last days who are possibly, quite possibly, living right now tonight? And they will not come to the love of the truth. They don't want it. They refuse. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. The Antichrist, something, somehow, there's going to be a lie that is going to be released upon the world, and the world is going to go for it. Wow. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, those are terrifying verses. That should get your attention. Those are future events. That has not yet happened. Bible prophecy, given to strengthen us and encourage us and to give us insight. So you guys sitting down? Because this next verse, in fact, everybody, I should do this right now. If you guys are watching right now from afar on YouTube, we're probably going to get knocked off soon, in a matter of moments, with the verse I'm going to read. So jump on over to the Real Life Network. It's free. Or you could go to jackhibbs.com, and it's free. So all YouTubers, get ready to jump, because we've done this before, and we got knocked off. We got knocked off in Germany. We got knocked off in Canada and in the UK for what I'm about to read. You ready? Here we go. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. This is all satanic deception and power. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. We're pointing fingers at Satan, who turns around and digs his claws into people's lives, and this is how he does it. We are going to be revealing right here, right now, some of Satan's satanic ploys to destroy the human soul so he can think he's getting back at God. Because God loves you. As I read this list, if this strikes you in the heart, you should know that God loves you. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The Greek is in the present continuous sense. The wrath of God is now falling upon, from heaven, upon people who are against all, or against heaven, with ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. It's happening now. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The word suppress, that word means to like sit on the lid of a boiling pot. You know, can you imagine a pot boiling and you stand on top of the lid to try to hold it down? That's what the ungodly are doing. They try to, at every turn, they try to stop biblical truth from getting out. Like somebody standing on a lid that is boiling, like a pot. Remarkable. Suppress the truth in unrighteousness. How come? Why? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Did you ever think about the little guy running around in the jungles of Amazon? In the woods, in the rainforest? And you're wondering, how come somebody hasn't gotten to, well, stop preaching to me. You should go down to the jungles of Amazon. God says, don't worry about it. I've already talked to the guy running around in the Amazon. Isn't that amazing? Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, that is that they knew of God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God, watch this, into an image made like corruptible man. Now I'm going to read to you now evolution backwards. Man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Isn't that interesting? You read it the other way. Creeping things from microscopic onward, upward, into four-footed animal things, bird-type things, into man. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. Notice, he gave them up, past tense. But this is still happening today, and it's going to happen tomorrow, still. Just don't let it happen to you. That God gave them up to their lust, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. What does that mean, gave them up? He turned them over to themselves. He let them stand in the cement. That's what they wanted? You can have it. Do you remember when the children of Israel rebelled against God because they were sick of manna? Remember that? And so Moses said, You should be thankful. You should be nice. And God says, just Moses, get out of the way. They want meat? They want meat? I'll give them meat. About this time tomorrow, there's going to be a bazillion quail coming, flying across just in the strike zone. They're going to kill all these quail. They're going to have so much meat. I'll give them meat until the meat comes out of their noses. And the Bible says that that's exactly what happened, but here's the most terrifying part of all. It says, but then God put leanness in their souls. They became complacent. And so he says there that he gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. In other words, the women exchanged the use of a man. That's natural, that's nature. They gave up on that. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error, which is due. That's a terrifying statement. Whatever happened for male protein, encountering male protein in sexual union, it caused something inside of them to go off. Some sort of biological, chemical catastrophe. Might I remind you that I am reading a 2,000-year-old document tonight? This is remarkable. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, get God out of this. Shut down this Bible. Get out the Ten Commandments. Don't talk about God. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not right or not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Wow. Disobedient to parents. You know what that, in the bottom line, that's bad enough, but the bottom line is they will have no authority over them, no one. The most loving authority that they could have over their life assumes it's their parents. They don't want that. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also post, tweet, right? Film, approve of those who practice them. That takes the air out of this room. That the ancient Bible ain't so ancient anymore, is it? It describes our culture. And truth is the only weapon that you have against Satan's deception. Because Satan will say, transgenderism's fine. Think about it for a moment. Play it out. It's fine. Really, who says? Who says it's fine? On what authority do they say it's fine? Somebody has to answer this. Not in this room. Somebody who's responsible for approving such actions. Who, what, when, where, how did they ever come down to the thought process of, I'm going to approve the mutilation of my child? Look, if one person's insane and that's their thought process, that's what child protection agency is for. Amen. But no, 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 no. Apparently that's not what they're for. And then the child is taken to a doctor, a surgeon, who thinks it's right to perform such things and remove the breast of a 16-year-old. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I fell out of a spaceship from Mars, but that's wrong. It's wrong, and Satan loves it because he hates anything, everything that is human, created in the image of God. Mutilate, destroy, deceive, kill, murder, crush, anything that even remotely looks like the image of God. And Satan wants it killed. And he's working in the hearts and the minds of children and parents and culture and leaders, judges, doctors, attorneys, politicians, governments. How in the world can you have such a sick idea and all of a sudden it goes around the world in a blink of an eye? You can't even market an Apple product that effectively. It's because it's on the lips, as it were, of demonic spirits. And by now, I'm sure we're off of YouTube. Who cares anyway? YouTube, you know, think about it. It's going to be working great for the tribulation people. They'll have YouTube all they want. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Jude 1, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. Why? For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Did you know if you want to find ungodliness, look around religious things. Satan will try to infiltrate the church, the group of believers. You may say, well, that's why we don't go to church. We just have a group of, there's just 12 of us. We're going to keep it a very biblical number. There's just going to be 12 of us in our home group. Can I remind you that there was 12 people in Jesus' church, and one of them was the devil? I understand that. Stick to the truth, and you'll never be deceived. Stick to the truth, and you won't have to care about what people think about you or feelings. I think it was Ben Shapiro who said a long time ago, truth doesn't care one bit about your feelings. And that is true. Truth is just, truth's going to tell you the truth. Amen. Jude chapter 1 verse 10 says this, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them. I'm not going to, you look it up. See the word woe in verse 11? I'm not going to tell you what that word means. You go look. I'm not going to say it in public. For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Remember the ground opened up? That's awesome. Remember that guy was bugging Moses, contending against Moses? And Moses threw himself on the ground and said, God, you judge between who's right and who's wrong on this. God, you just step in. And the ground started to shake. And the ground opened up, and Korah and his whole clan fell in the crack of the earth. And then it closed up. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water. That describes the Southern California. We watch clouds go by without rain. Carried about by the winds, late autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Deceivers, cults, false prophets, false teachers. The Bible warns us. It's remarkable. In Mark chapter 3, verse 22, you guys still okay?
Yes.
Mark chapter 3, verse 22, it's rather amazing what insights Jesus will give us here into that whole spirit. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, speaking of Jesus, he has Beelzebub. He has Beelzebub. Jesus is raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But the religious hierarchy comes down from Jerusalem, and what is their accusation against Jesus to the people? He has a devil spirit. That's what they're saying. That's what Beelzebub means. And by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons. So Jesus called them to himself and said to them, in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. And then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, All sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation because they said he has an unclean spirit. Did y'all get that? This is big stuff. Have you ever heard of the unpardonable sin? That's it. You want to commit the unpardonable sin? Keep believing that Jesus is not who he is and that he's nothing else but a prophet. He's nothing else but a magician. He's nothing else but an alien. He's nothing else but a charlatan. Anything else is demonic. Are you hearing me? Yes. Satan doesn't care how far off you are on the course as long as you're off. So come to your conclusion wherever you want to. Just know this. If you cannot confess today and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, that he came into this world to die, physically die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead for our sins, if you can't believe that, if you refuse to believe that, that is because of demonic deception. But those guys, they said he does all this stuff because he's the ultimate deceiver. Jesus does this by the power of Satan himself. And Jesus said to them, your doctrine, it's the doctrine that you hold. If you die in that doctrine, believing what you believe, you will never be forgiven. That's the unpardonable sin. Think about it. What sin sends someone to hell? Is it smoking? Is it drinking? Is it rock and roll? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Is it fighting? No, none of that. Those are emanations that exhibit, that present the unpardonable sin. Is if you die not trusting in Jesus Christ, because by you dying in your doctrine that he is not the Lord Jesus Christ, you have committed a sin, and death seals the death is that concrete whereby there's no chance, there's no coming back. And I'm realizing this message is going to cause people to never come back as well. This is just too much. It has to be said. It has to be said. Third thing is this. The days of the Antichrist, number three, is the rise of a global worldview way of thinking. Globalism. The rise of a global worldview. Globalism. That way of thinking. This is important, and we're running out of time, but this is where we really get down to so much of what we're living through right now. You and I live in a world right now by technology, via technology, that the whole world all of a sudden is at the tip of your fingers. And somebody can have a comment in Rome today and it will get around the world in nanoseconds. Somebody can post something at 9 a.m. Pacific time and within 2 hours the whole world will know. Wow. And isn't it interesting that type of communication is bringing the world into a unified, think group, mind group, worldview grouping. So, for example, I heard last night, half of Europe, I don't know if this is true or not, half of Europe will soon be Arab. And predominantly, of course, Muslim in that Arab culture. Not all Arabs are Muslim, but a lot of Muslims are Arabs. Are you hearing me? And they're in the Middle East by way of legal or illegal migration or what's the word I'm saying? Migration. What's the word? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't see any way for Europe to return to its Christian roots. I don't see that happening. But be that as it may, it doesn't matter in the sense that whatever's prevailing winds up in this day and age getting sympathy from the global collective mind thinking that, how about this? This is one. We don't know what's wrong, but whatever is wrong, it's the Jews' fault. That's a global worldview mindset. So you think about Europe. Europe wants to be Europe, but they don't want to defend Europe. We're learning all about this right now. You're defending Europe. But Europe doesn't want you to have any kind of a say, but they want to be defended. Where does that come from? There's a global think. And all you have to do is look at 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds start right there globally. And look at some of the data globally. See, you can get data from an American 13-year-old and a Chinese 13-year-old and a Moroccan 13-year-old and an Indian 13-year-old. Are you hearing me? And they're all in the same plane of communication, of understanding. They all think the same thing. They're growing up on a technology that has brought them into a one global mindset way of belief. And it's moving the older generations off the edge. Imagine as this continues. The Bible tells us, well, listen, Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Daniel 7, verse 24. The 10 horns are 10 kings. I love when the Bible just tells you. Daniel saw this incredible vision, freaked him out. You can read it in detail. It's like, what in the world? This is terrifying. By the way, people have taken this and they asked AI to create this thing. And I should have done that before service. And you could see what AI puts together, where this 10 horns on this beast are 10 kings who shall rise from this kingdom. It's a world kingdom. We don't have time to look at all that. And another shall rise after them. So that's an 11th. You got that, everybody? You still with me? We're almost done. I mean, we're not done. We're going to end soon, but we're not done. So there's 10, but the 10 are intact, but there's going to be an 11th one rise. Hang on now. He shall be different from the first ones, that's the first 10, and shall subdue 3 of the kings. He's going to take out 3 of the 10. You got that? Are we okay? The 11th one, or the other horn, the other king, he's going to come up and he's going to knock out 3. Imagine a chess game, so to speak. He's going to take out 3 of the 10. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, that's the Lord, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, that's the believers, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and a times and a half a times. Half a time. We don't have to guess what that means. The Bible tells us exactly what it means. It means 3.5 years. It will tell you in another place. 1,260 days. The Bible will use those actual days. What are we talking about? One of the lies that Satan is going to produce with this man called the Antichrist is that either he goes along with it or he actually believes it. I think Satan is going to mess with his head so much that he'll believe it. He's going to believe that he is God. Do you remember a little while ago we were reading Thessalonians where he's going to declare himself to be God, that he's going to exalt himself above God? That's the pompous words statement. The Antichrist will be full of grandiose words about how great he is, and he's going to have the ability that he will somehow create probably, and that he'll, in 2 Thessalonians 2, declare himself to be God in the temple. And you ask, what temple? Well, we're talking about the Bible here. When the Bible talks about the temple, there's no temple today. Well, don't be surprised if someday you hear about people wanting to rebuild the temple or wanting to make materials for the temple. It's quite remarkable. This horn that we're talking about, right? You see, Jack, I mean, this is just crazy. No, it's not crazy. When you read Old Testament and we jump into the book of Revelation, which we would have if I would have hurried up tonight, we'll pick it up next time, is this. That horn, that's all explained perfectly in the Bible. The horn is a king. There's 10 kings, but there's going to be a little horn. He's called a little horn in another place, and he's going to rise up, and he's going to have a big mouth. But the Bible says he's going to be very, very skilled in the art of intrigue. He will be able to craft policy, the Bible says, and manipulate economies. When you read a moment ago where it says he will seek to change times, seasons, or law, that speaks of his megalomania of not only being a political leader, but he crosses the line into the religious realm. He seeks to change traditions, make new ones, bring everybody onto the same page. We all believe in the same God, is that kind of talk. We may live in different continents and different areas, but as long as we're sincere, we believe in the same thing. So prevalent in our day and age, and it will increase. Religions will coalesce with politics, not to change the politics, but to become one with it. Our founding fathers knew that was wrong. That's why you and I do not have a state church in America. Isn't that great? Thank God. Amazing. It's too bad. Listen, I do have 5 minutes. Here's what I'll do. I'll take the 5 minutes, but all the while, as I take the five, you need to be thinking and making sure that you're okay with God. Okay? So important. And so, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel that the Antichrist will deceive the world for a cry for prosperity and for peace. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says that then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. The word translates out to 7 years. But in the middle of the week, what's the middle of seven? Three and a half. Three and a half in the Bible is 1,260 days, or a time, times, and a dividing of time. He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Excuse me, what? The Antichrist? Yep. He's going to stop in, no doubt, it's Israel, it's Jerusalem, because we know the prophecies to Daniel, and God says to Daniel, here's the vision regarding your people and your holy city. Daniel was a Jew. And this guy is going to say, no more sacrifices, which is interesting to think. It's bizarre, isn't it, to think that the Jews, are in some way, shape, or form, according to the Bible, they're going to somehow reinstitute animal sacrifice. Think of that. That's a big deal for Jews today because they have to offer up innocent blood of an animal for their sins, and they haven't been able to do that for 2,000 years. And they dance around it. They tell you all kinds of things about, well, we don't do blood anymore. We do good works. Yeah, that's great. Glad. Keep it up. But your Bible says you have to have blood. Isn't that wild? They're gonna go back to it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read it a moment ago. We'll just read it because maybe it'll tie in better. 2 Thessalonians 2. Remember this. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, remember, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. When there's no longer a separation of church and state, In fact, when that day comes, listen, this is a side note, and we will wrap this up. Here's the deal. We know from the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, that there's a religious system, and there is what is called the false prophet that will be one of the Antichrist chiefs of staff. He's called the false prophet. The Bible says he can do miracles. And he helps the Antichrist rule the world from Jerusalem. Listen, right now Islam is covering the earth and expanding. I don't think for long. What are you, crazy? Look at the data. I understand the data. I love data. But do you think the doctrines of Islam will allow this guy to arise? It's anti-Islamic doctrine. Are you hearing me? It's pretty wild to think. Will there be some sort of hybrid thing? We don't know. But somehow this guy, the Bible tells us, the world will follow him. That means he's going to be bringing people together. But I know that Islamic eschatology does not allow for a Jew. This is probably going to be, he's probably going to be a Jew from the tribe of Dan. And Satan, the Bible says, will possess him. He'll be the Antichrist. I think what the Antichrist has planned, what Satan has planned in Islam, I don't think it matches. So one's not going to survive, or one's going to change and coalesce and bow to the rise of this deceiver. You guys, this should be our mode of operation no matter what, and that is to tell people about the love of God. And the fact that God has written us this flawless book to such detail that it boggles our minds. But the bottom line is that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the offering for our sins. And he didn't select a certain people group to have access to that forgiveness. He said, if anyone, for whosoever, he said. And you see what's happening right now, and it's not only in Iran. One thing I so much appreciate about Muslims is that you don't have to break the ice with them about God. You know how if you see somebody standing around at the store or car wash or whatever, and you don't know if they believe in God or not, and boy, how am I going to cross this line, and I want to witness to them, but, you know, I don't know about... Excuse me. If you see somebody walk by with a yarmulke, with a Star of David on his chest, or if you see a Muslim walk by, 90% of the pressure is already off. Walk up to them and say, hey, I see that you believe in God. Can we talk about God? I'm so interested. Because I'd like to know. We just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And I'm curious, how do you deal with your sins as an individual? What is your mode of atonement? I'd love to know. I'm very curious. Let them tell you. Look, if they're true believers in what they believe, they're going to be happy to tell you. Let them tell you. And you don't have to convince them. We're not supposed to convince people. All we're supposed to do is to tell them, wow, that is so fantastically interesting. I don't believe that. I personally believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world, that the Bible says he rose again from the dead. And a lot of people, you know, try to hide all that and try to reinterpret all that. But fact remains, there's an empty tomb in Jerusalem, friend. And listen, man, God doesn't save just black people or just white people. He saves every color in between, even if you're not a color at all. Will you just remember that he loves you? The God of the Bible says he loves you, and he wants you in heaven with him. And so I just thought, I saw you. I figured, you know, both of us believe in our beliefs. And so I just wanted to say hi, and I'll be praying for you. Do you understand? You'll make an impact on that person's life forever. They may or may not come to believe, but they heard the truth. Wow, these are really golden moments, people. So we'll get back at it next week. Do you guys honestly care about this stuff? Because it's not like none of this is going to give you a warm and fuzzy. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh. I mean, you're not going to get the feeling like the people had at the movie tonight. That's a great feeling, and it's really right on. But this is stuff that's real, and it's in the Bible, and it's coming.
It's a love story.
Exactly what Lee just said. Let God love you. Let him love you. Talk to him. If you don't believe any of this tonight, go home and get alone. And say, if you're really out there, if you are really listening to me right now, if you're for real, let me know. Can you do that?
Yes.
Do it. Let's all stand. I was in Moscow. I was speaking at the wall. Not the wall, that was Berlin. Cold War had ended. The Soviet Union collapsed. And we immediately went right in. And I think it was 1991 or 92. And back in those days, when an American was seen, you were like, you know, and there was a bunch of us. So we stood out, and they were asking for our autograph because we're Americans. It was funny. They were asking us, where are you from? California? Oh, we love your capital. We have pictures of your capital. And I'm thinking, have you seen our capital? I mean, the building's beautiful, but Sacramento? And it really puzzled me. And they go, yeah, well, someday we would love to see San Francisco. They thought that it was the capital of California. Cute, but. So I had a chance to speak at a university to a bunch of scientists, and when we were all done, this beautiful, precious man came up to me, and he was suit and tie and all with his briefcase, professor of physics at this school. And he said, the things that I've heard from you today, these are things that my grandmother would tell me about. She would whisper these truths. But we believe in science. My grandmother told me that when the Soviets came in, they took the crosses and the Bibles out of all the homes, and they said that there was never a God. But my grandmother would tell me about God. But I went the way of science. And he said, when I talk about science, I have no warmth inside my heart, even when I think about science, but the things that you said tonight caused a warmth in my heart. And I had the high honor of saying to him through a translator, I said, you know, the God that I talked tonight about, he's not only the author of the Bible, but he's the author of all science. He's the same author. That's why they completely are in harmony. And he said, I want to believe that. And I said, let's pray. He goes, I can't pray. I cannot pray here. I cannot pray. And I said, well, why don't you go home tonight and get alone and ask this God that doesn't exist if he would show himself to you. Ask him. And he said, I can ask just like that. I said, just like that. If that's you tonight, ask him to show himself to you. He will. In fact, when he does, I want to know about it. I want you to grab me on a Sunday or a Wednesday and say, I went home, doubted every word that you read and said on the screens. I went home. 3 weeks later, this is what happened. God revealed himself to me. You watch and see. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you've given us Bible prophecy to prepare us in evangelism, to prepare us with comfort, to prepare us in so many ways, but to also cause us to be people who can bring comfort to a generation of people who do not know the Word of God, and they're here, and they don't know that you know the future before it ever happens, because you are the God outside of time. And you've written it down in advance, and we all look like we know what we're talking about, but we're just plagiarizing everything that you gave us. So Lord, tonight I pray for each and every one of us that we would make very sure that Jesus Christ is the only one on our list. It's not Jesus Christ plus our good works. It's not Jesus Christ plus our morality. It's not Jesus Christ because our denomination or religion. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior, God incarnate, born into this world as prophesied to save us from ourselves and from sin. And in him is eternal life. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you as we close.